In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. All may kneel to confess. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I crave thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter, suffering in death, by the love of the Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me. Upon this confession, I diverse my office as the call ordained through the word, not space of God unto you. In this day, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All may stand for the intro. Our God is full of
Jesus Christ, O Lord God.
Let us pray. O God, without whose blessing we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and govern our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
The reading for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is found in your bulletin insert. The Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 50, reading from the fourth verse. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moss will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Here ends the Old Testament. The epistle reading is found in James, the second chapter, reading from the first verse. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a golden ring and fine clothes, and poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles on just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Here ends the epistle lesson.
The Holy Gospel is found in the events of St. Mark, the 8th chapter, reading from the 27th verse. Jesus. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. Then he might be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Here ends the gospel.
Now confess our faith, words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22 in the front of your hymnal.
"I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, light of light, very God of earth, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sinned, who for our sufferings came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and in the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, he descended into heaven, and is sitting on the right hand of God. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the great and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. And I believe one holy Christian apostolic church, for I come to the baptism of the Christian, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
How would you like to be a disciple alongside a man the Lord Jesus named the Rock? You're James or John, whom Jesus nicknamed Sons of Thunder for your misplaced judgment. You're Didymus the Twin, which wouldn't be that bad. Or maybe Simon the Zealot, which would be better still, I suppose. And what would be wrong with being the disciple whom Jesus loved? Nothing, except it pales in comparison to the Rock. The Rock is on a roll in our text, isn't he? Opinion polls agree that Jesus is a miraculous man, John the Baptist risen from the dead, a powerful man like Elijah, or a prophetic man. But in the words of Tammy Wynette, after all, he's just a man. Mormons, Muslims, even the Jews will say nice things about Jesus. But for all of them, he's no more than a man. You don't worship a man. You don't pray to a man. You don't trust in a man to save you from death, judgment, and hell. You don't eat the body and drink the blood of just a man. But that's all a first century Gallup poll said Jesus was. Not the Rock. Jesus asked, according to Matthew, who do men say the Son of Man is? The Rock answers, you are the Son of God. Actually, his full answer there is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is Greek for the Hebrew Messiah. You're the one foretold since Eden. You're Eve's promised seed. You're Abraham's great reward. You're Isaac's shield. You're Jacob's line from the tribe of Judah. You're David's shepherd. You've all been in a setting where a teacher asks a question. You feel you know the right answer. You can see that others might too, but who will speak out first? To do so is to put yourself out there. Who else would speak first but the Rock? It's important we note what neither Mark's account nor Luke's account does. Matthew 16:17 says, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. People on their own can reach no other conclusion about Jesus than Tammy did. He's just a man. Men can only reach those conclusions that make sense to them. Sins are only what they consider sinful. Adultery, not living together. Forgiveness, only to the extent they think it can happen. Hatred, sure, but probably not murder. And baptism, well, that's plain water, even as absolution is just words, and bread and wine and communion are no more than that. To get beyond what men can reason takes nothing less than the revelation by the Father in heaven. The Rock is given that, but then the Rock cracks. Jesus tells them plainly what it means to be the Christ. Plainly is the Greek for openly, frankly, unambiguously. Not the Son of Man will be lifted up, or tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. I've heard doctors do this. They tell the elderly husband that the wife is sick, maybe sicker than we thought, but there are some treatments available. It's hard to say what the outcome will be. But then they go down the hall to the son and say, she has stage 4 cancer. There's not much that can be done. It's only a matter of months. Well, the Rock and the less than Rock disciples, they get the son talk. It is necessary for the Son of Man, the Christ, to suffer many things, to be rejected after testing, it's the specific Greek word, to be rejected after testing by the highest religious court in the Old Testament church, to be killed, and oh yeah, to rise on the 3rd day. Though all 3 passion predictions have that part about rising again, it never has an effect on the disciples. That's because the suffering, rejecting, and killing overwhelm them, as is plain from the Rock's words here. He takes Jesus aside. The Rock behaves like a big brother who knows better. He doesn't just correct Jesus, though. He rebukes him. That's the same Greek word that insert translates warned, as in Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about him. The word's going to be used again when Jesus responds to the Rock's rebuke.
Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, aka the rock. Get behind me, Satan. That's a very strong word, this rebuke word. It means to reprimand. It means to admonish strongly. It means to enjoin strictly. Let a child do that to a parent. Let an employee do that to an employer. Let a motorist do that to a cop. And that's nothing compared to what the rock does to the one the Father has revealed as the Christ. You're wrong, Jesus. None of this will ever happen to you. No suffering, no rejecting, no killing, no rising. Well, doesn't it seem the only bad part in the rebuke is that the rock denies the resurrection? No, skip ahead to Luke 24. There Jesus reveals to the rock and other disciples what they should have known from the Old Testament. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Again, Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. These are the things of God. The rock wasn't minding while he was minding the things of men. So what does minding the things of men rather than the things of God look like for us? It's me putting more stock in the upheaval going on in the world than in the words of our Lord, that he gives me peace in this world. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. It's me minding the things, expecting the world to love me, though the Lord promises it will hate me because it hated him. Minding the things of men is me expecting to see the breadbasket full before I pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Minding the things of men is me expecting, contrary to the hymn, to be taken to heaven on flowery beds of ease rather than by the same cross that took my Lord. So the rock cracks, and in a big way. That's why we follow Christ, the rock, and not Peter. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul refers to the Old Testament church all drinking from the rock that followed them. And then he plainly says, the rock was Christ. Listen to how scripture glories in this rock. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God, my God, is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 18:31, for who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? Psalm 18:46, the Lord lives, praise be to my rock, exalted be my God, my Savior. Psalm 19:14, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Deuteronomy 32:18 tells us what we don't want to do. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Our rock is a flesh and blood man, but it's not Peter. It's the flesh and blood man conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin named Mary. I wanted to put on the bulletin cover an image of Marvel Comics' The Thing. He's part of the Fantastic Four. He's a big man made of rock. I wanted him on the cover, but the images look too scary. But think of a man who is a rock, humbling himself, giving up the full use of his superpowers to live under the laws of God that he gave to humanity. Not only does he keep them, he suffers as if he broke every single one of them in every single way every day. He suffers the guilt that you sometimes feel. The rock man suffers the shame you sometimes feel, the dread of being judged by the Almighty God you sometimes feel. Then picture the rock man, the thing, nailed to the cross. This gigantic rock man dies, and in death he is pale, he's weak, and he's soft. That's what really happened to Jesus. But right before he does suffer and pay the last full measure of sins and full measure for the sins and guilts of the world, he says these words. The very last week of his life, just days before dying, which is right before Passover, he quotes Psalm 118, which was sung during Passover. Jesus says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. That's the Bible quote. Then he adds, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Jesus is speaking to the people who are getting up early, going to the temple just to hear him, and to the Old Testament church leaders who are overhearing it all. You know that saying about the anvil that has worn out many a hammer? Well, Jesus is the rock that wears out all that oppose him, all that resist him, all that reject him. But he's also the rock of ages and clefts to safely keep Moses so he can see God's glory, which can only toast sinners. Read about it in Exodus 33 and 34. Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. The cross is the point where the rock clefts, where the open wounds of Jesus provide shelter for sinners, peace for guilty sinners, courage for frightened ones. So where on earth does this rock cleft for me today? Well, not in the Holy Land. The cleft is not found in your own heart or even in your own believing. We see how not even Peter, the rock, could hold on to Jesus there. No, the rock clefts where heaven's waters flow, where heaven's words are heard, and where heaven himself comes down to earth in his body as bread and his blood as wine. In these, I fall before the rock, and the rock covers me rather than crushes me. And I hear what Moses did. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And this rock of compassion, this rock of grace, this rock of forgiveness calls not just rocks, but pebbles and even grains of sand. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. People are remembering, especially are listed in your bulletin. We pray particularly for Judd and Ugenie Harris family. Judd has COVID. He's doing much better now. Annabelle is steadily improving and back at school.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislator of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authorities. Bestow them grace to rule after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing the lawbreakers, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy. And we pray for all who are troubled, blood, sickness, anguish, or peril of death, especially those who are suffering for thy name and truth. Comfort them with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and recognize their afflictions as being according to thy fatherly will. Lord, in thy mercy. And be thou in Christ our rock on which we build, and which bless to shelter us in every time of need, fear, affliction, and trouble. Lord, in thy mercy. As thou didst show thyself in the person of Christ, not only be the great physician of souls, but of bodies too, so we are bold to bring thee out of Judd and family, deliver them as thou wilt, and attend to them as thou hast promised. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Continue now to read the liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary, we should all times and all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we go out and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. This cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. This is not that you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Christ shed for the remission of all your sin. And drink the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. And drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting, be part, be in peace.
Thank you.
Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. A drink of the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. A drink of the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. A drink is the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. A drink of the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, life everlasting. In
Amen. Thank you.
last day to check the roster that's up on the bulletin board for your name and address and all that stuff. Sign up today for St. Crispin's Day Eve dinner, October 24th. St. Crispin's Day is not a day on the Lutheran church calendar. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but we're going to have a St. Crispin's Day Eve dinner. October 21st, 4th, 3-ish for happy hour dinner at 5-ish. Sign up, please. And on that same Sunday during the Bible class hour, we're going to screen the Yankee Stadium prayer service from 9/11 that was asked about weeks ago probably, that I forgot how young some of you were, that you might not even remember that. And that's what started us all on the path to leaving the Missouri Synod. So that'll be shown during the Bible class. It's got to start on time since it's just almost exactly an hour. Thank you.